I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. And I guess if you find Kings, Samuel, Kings, then Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. This address, I have a hard time sometimes with addresses in the Bible, but this address is easy for me to remember because it's the caliber of a shotgun. It's 1 Chronicles 4:10. That's how I started out hunting squirrels with my dad and rabbits with my dad with a little 4:10 shotgun. And that shotgun sure did mean a lot to me. Amen. We're not going to have a lengthy reading today. It's been years since I've even thought about this text. But you know the Spirit of God, He brought me back to it last night. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I want to read verse 9 and verse number 10 in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. The Bible said, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from the evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Not a lot of words in that prayer, is there? Boy, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of purpose in that prayer. And I want to examine it for a little while this morning. Jabez is also a place in Palestine, but other than that, this is the only place in the Word of God where you'll find his name. And his name, it means sorrowful or to grieve. He was birthed out of pain, and I reckon all children are birthed somewhat out of pain. There must have been a degree above the normal with his mother because she named him Jabez. You can be seated. Pray with us. Father, I thank you today for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, today that something will be said that it would encourage us. Lord, I always feel unworthy to preach on this subject, but God, I know that it's needed in my heart, my life, the lives of others. And I pray today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and help us today to glean something from this man, from his prayer. And Lord, that it might help us in the days ahead. Lord, again, we pray for those that are in the valley of decision. Lord, their decisions concerning salvation, I know it's more than a decision. But Lord, there are other valleys of decision. Lord, some are in the valley of decision concerning service. Some are in the valley of decision concerning some sin that's hindering them, hindering their walk with God. And I pray, Lord, today that you would lead in the valley and help us today. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I've got several things I want to look at today in this prayer of Jabez. There was a time years ago, I guess I was pastoring at Liberty, when a fad that caught on, you know, and people had bracelets and necklaces and everything with the prayer of Jabez on it. But I want to remind you something. When God puts something in the Word, it's there. Amen. And it never gets old. Amen. And it should be more than just a fad. Amen. And I believe today God wants to teach us something concerning Jabez. He's going to reveal some things to us. When I thought about how short this prayer is, I read this by Martin Luther. He said, "The fewer the words, the better the prayer. To have prayed well is to have studied well." I thought that was a good thing. A lot of people think you've got to pray a long, long time. Let me just say this to you. God's looking at the heart. It's better to have a heart without words in prayer than it is to have words without heart. Amen. God wants us to bear our heart to Him. Amen. And then Martin Luther said this. He said, if I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of the faith. How many can say that from experience? Amen. You rushed into the day and neglected prayer, and it just didn't work out like it should have worked out. Somebody help me today. Amen. And I thought about, as I prepared to preach, that the disciples, they traveled with Jesus. Have you ever, this crossed my mind when I was in Israel years ago. I visited Israel once, that when we were in the Garden of Gethsemane, there were olive trees that were as old, or so old, that Jesus could have knelt under one of those olive trees and prayed. Could you ever imagine being just a few feet away from Jesus and hearing Him pray? The reason I said that is the disciples walked with Him. They saw Him. Now, there were many times when Jesus went apart and He'd get up early in the morning because He knew the day was going to be busy and it was no one but Him and His Father. And by the way, every one of us needs that time in our life. There's nothing wrong with a husband and wife praying together. As a matter of fact, it's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with a mom and dad and the children praying together. That's beautiful. But every one of us, mom, dad, youngins, teenagers, every one of us need a time where it's just us and Him. Amen? And I believe that's what's being pictured here. The disciples asked Jesus for two things after walking with Him. They said, Lord, increase our faith, and Lord, teach us to pray. And did you know there's not a how in that? Not teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. The importance of prayer in the life of the believer. I want to read something to you and just to just kind of strike a chord before I even get started in these verses. I read this and it strikes a chord with me, and I hope it will with you. A tale is told about a small town that had historically been dry. That means without liquor, without beer. But then a local businessman decided to build a tavern. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned, and they planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly thereafter, lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated that, here's what he said, no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not. Think about that for just a moment, amen? The tavern owner believed that that's the reason they're praying is the reason it burned down, and they were denying it, amen? May God help us as God's people to believe in the power of prayer. I want to look at some things that this prayer reveals, the prayer of Jabez reveals today. And I guess we would call the lesson the revelation of the prayer of Jabez. First thing I want you to see is that it reveals the dedication of Jabez. The Word of God said in verse number 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Let me say this to you. I'm going to make a distinction here between the dedication. The second thing in the message talks about the devotion of Jabez. And I want to make a distinction. The dedication is what was seen publicly. They could see. Did you know that somebody notices when your car leaves the driveway at the same time every Sunday? Amen. Somebody notices, beloved, listen, when you're faithful to the house of God, when you're faithful, somebody notices. Dedication can be seen by others, how that you pour your life into whatever God has given you to do. But beloved, devotion is only seen by God. Here's what I want you to see. He was more honorable than his brethren. You say, well, Pastor, nobody could say that. God did. It's right there in the Bible. God said that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I believe it reveals the dedication that he had in his life. in comparison with his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. But I want you to look at this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. There's the devotion, amen. And you see the difference? Someone said one time, I don't know if I can remember this exactly right, but said that reputation is what others think you are, but character is what you are. Amen? And Jabez has character. Jabez, he called on the God of Israel. There's only two short verses that talk about this, and only one of them reveals his prayer. But it reveals the dedication in his life, and it reveals the devotion in his life. Did you know, beloved, listen, there has to be some alone time if we're going to be devoted. You remember the story of Martha and Mary. Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she actually says to Jesus, "Dost thou not care?" And you can only imagine somebody looking at the Son of God and saying, "Don't you care?" when no one ever cared for us like Jesus. But Mary, the Word of God said, she sat at his feet and heard his word. And Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about many things, but Mary hath chosen the good part." Mary had chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word. Every one of us are geared differently. But really, when it comes down to these two things, it's probably one or the other. Some are geared more like Martha, and some are geared more like Mary. But I'm going to tell you, whatever gear you're in, beloved, it doesn't excuse us from taking time to be holy, taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus, to open our Bible, to pray, and to say, "God, show me something. Teach me something from thy word." Amen. And I believe the dedication is revealed in this prayer, and so is the devotion. Not only that, but it also reveals the desperation in his life and in his prayer life. In one word, that desperation is revealed. The word oh. I remember hearing a preacher say this years ago. He said, "We need to get the oh back in our prayer life." You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" In other words, desperate to see God move. Desperate to see God work. Amen. I remember Isaiah, I believe it's in Isaiah 64, he prays something like this, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down." Amen. We need God. Amen. We need that. And Brother Chris, I picked up on when you prayed a while ago. You said, oh God, in that, oh, listen to me. There was a time when the altars in Baptist churches were full and people were crying out, "Oh God, save my baby. Oh God, save my husband. Oh God, send revival. Oh God, help our nation." I'm telling you, beloved, we need the Lord, amen. And we need that desperation back in our prayer life, amen. It starts here with that little word, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Prayer is, you say, "Pastor, we can do with it or we can do without it." I'll tell you, we can't do without it. We've got to have it, amen. We've got to have the Lord's blessings, amen. And I thank God. Listen to this little statement before I move on. And I thought this Brother John painted a good picture. It said the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Yeah. You think about that. The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Amen. And you know, we need the Spirit of God to convict hearts of sin, but it's prayer, beloved, listen, that's going to fetch the Spirit of God. Amen. You see where I'm coming from? It reveals the dedication of Jabez. It reveals the devotion, but it reveals the desperation in his prayer life. Amen. Oh God, we need your help this morning. Now watch. Not only that, but it reveals the desire of Jabez. What was his desire in his prayer? He said that thou wouldest bless me indeed. On the surface, you could look at that, Brother Billy, and say, what a selfish way to pray. But I'm going to tell you, when you get a hold of what I'm about to say, it'll make more sense to you.
Beloved, listen. How many of you want to be a blessing to your family? How many want to be a blessing to your neighbor? How many wants to be a blessing to your children? How many wants to be a blessing to your parents? Well, guess what? We can't be a blessing unless He first bless us. And I believe Jabez is not praying selfishly. Amen. He said, God, listen, I'm going to get into it in a moment. But he said here, bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. That talking about enlarging that coast is his sphere of influence. I want to reach others. I want to reach further. I want to do more for the glory of God. And we can't do that unless he blesses us, Brother Jack. We've got to have his blessings in our life. And so we see his desire. The Bible said here, I believe it was in Romans chapter 10, Paul, he was a man, I tell you, I admire the Apostle Paul. But he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Oh, he had a desire. One thing I'll tell you, beloved, you never have to wonder and you never have to worry about. When God gives you a desire for to see people saved, you never have to wonder whether that desire lines up with God's heart, because that is the desire of God's heart. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I believe when we delight in the Lord, our desires line up with His desires. Years ago, I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and we had several things going on in the ministry. And in one, I was actually incorporating the prayer of Jabez into my prayer life. And in one summer, we were down on the Atlantic coast in Florida. I think it was in May or June. And then we ended up on the West Coast up in Portland, Oregon, going up and down the coast visiting. We had a conference up there. I remember writing in my prayer letter, I've been asking God to enlarge my coast, but I didn't know it was going to be coast to coast. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, every one of us, we could ask God to help us when you go to work, when you go to Walmart, when you go to the gas station, wherever you go, when you go to the bank. Listen, there's lost people everywhere. And we could ask God to enlarge our coast, amen, that we might reach others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire, beloved, listen, was that God would bless him and that God would enlarge his coast. But let me give you this. I guess this would be number 5 if you're numbering them. Not only does it reveal the dedication of Jabez, and the prayer reveals his devotion and his desperation and his desire. Let me ask you something this morning. What did you come to church wanting to see? What did you come to church wanting to see? Is there a desire in your heart? Is there a desire? Listen, you can't control what's going on in the pew next to you. But you can be like they were that said, sirs, we want to see Jesus. I want to see Him, amen. I want to see Him move, amen, in our midst. And so, notice this, number 5. It reveals the dependence of Jabez. The Word of God said that thy hand might be with thee. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no substitute in the world for the hand of God. I'm telling you, if you've been around very long at all, listen, sometimes you could just tell that God's got His hand on an individual. I've been in places where somebody just prayed. They had never announced a call to preach. Or maybe somebody just taught a Sunday school lesson. They had never announced anything going on in their life. But I've left that meeting, Brother Junior, and said, God's got His hand on that young man. Or God's got His hand on that young lady. Amen. Now, God's not going to call the young lady to preach, but I tell you what, there's a lot of young ladies that's dedicated their life to the service of our Lord. Amen. And Jabez knew that he, when he prayed, he knew, listen, Brother Dale, even choir leaders got to have the hand of God on them, amen? And the choir needs the hand of God on them. And the Sunday school teachers need the hand of God on them, amen? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it pleases God when we pray in such a way that we're dependent on Him. God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. If He does it, it'll be done, and it'll be done right. Amen. Asaph said this in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but Thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Beloved, listen, they were dependent on the God of heaven, and Jabez shows that dependence in his prayer. Number six, it reveals the deliverance of Jabez. I want you to pay careful attention to this. In verse number 10, the word of God said here, watch it now, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Did you know when Jesus taught us the model prayer, He said, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. This is the deliverance, beloved. Listen. You can say whatever you want to, but when David was up there that afternoon on his bed, and he wasn't in the battle, he was on his bed, when his heart strayed and his mind strayed and his eyes strayed, he hadn't prayed that morning, God keep me from the evil. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there was a lapse, and you and I need to incorporate into our prayer life that we might see this deliverance from evil, amen? Because evil is all around us. It's all around us, amen? Every way that we turn. Listen to what John Bunyan said. He said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Think about that. Prayer will cause a man to cease from sin, or sin will cause a man to cease from prayer. I don't know about you, but I know which side of the coin is better there. Amen. We need that in our prayer life. Jabez is a wonderful man of God, more honorable than his brethren. The prayer is not lengthy, but the prayer is powerful. And God granted him the thing which he requested. Then lastly, in the message today, prayer, the prayer of Jabez, it reveals a declaration concerning the God of Jabez. You see, God hears and God answers prayer. The Word of God said here that God granted him that which he requested. There's two things here that I want you to see. I believe that Jabez was praying God's way. In other words, God wants us to approach Him. God said men ought always to pray and not to faint. But I also believe Jabez was praying in God's will. The Word of God said in 1 John, I believe, chapter number 5, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. That tells me that, as we spoke a while ago, that Jabez is not praying selfishly, but he's praying that he might have more influence in that world around him. And God granted him that which he requested. E.M. Bounds said this. He said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better machinery, not new organizations, not more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, mighty men in prayer. I hope God will speak to our hearts concerning that. Amen. Listen, you can have every program in the world, but if you don't have the power of God, you don't have anything. And that power is not going to come through organization. It's going to come through that organism, the Spirit of the living God. Let me give you this in closing today. Dr. Helen Rosevier, she was a missionary to Zaire. She told this story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle that we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray. By the way, I'm going to stop right there and say this. I don't mean any offense to the adults, but I believe I'd rather have a youngin praying for me than anybody in the world. They could get down on their knees, or they could lay on their bed, and they could talk to God with a pure heart, amen, and with a childlike faith. I give you this illustration. I've said it before, but many of you haven't heard it. It just come back to my mind. We were in the basement with my oldest daughter's two youngest children, and we had made her a place to live in our basement years ago, and there was Josh and Jordan. And Josh had a real bad upper respiratory going on. And they would have kept him in the hospital, but they didn't have room. They didn't have a bed for him. So he was going to the doctor every day, going to the doctor. He was getting shots and he was on medicine. And I don't hear well. You all know that. And I would say probably from here to the piano, Josh is over here on the couch, and Jordan and I were laying over there on the bed, and you could hear him wheezing. You could hear him. It was terrible to even hear. And I said to Jordan, I said, Jordan, we need to pray for Joshy. And he said, you pray, Papa. So I didn't get up. I didn't kneel. We just laid there on her back, and I closed my eyes, and I began to pray for Joshy. And when I got through praying and said, amen, Jordan, he's not real, he's not real athletic-like, but anyway, he looked like a jack-in-the-box. He looked like he had springs under him. He bounced up off of that bed. He ran across the basement, and he stood over his brother and said, Joshy, you feel better? It broke my heart. Why? Because he had something I didn't have. I had talked to God, but he had a childlike faith. He's thinking something like this, Brother Billy. Papa prayed for you, and by now you ought to be feeling better. Amen. Oh, God, give us that kind of faith. We need to ask in faith, amen, and nothing wavering. And listen to what it said here. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for his sister. One of the girls responded, Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, If God sent that, I'm sure he also sent a doll. And she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of the child's sincere request, and 5 months earlier, he had led a ladies' group to include both of those specific articles. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say when we're praying. That's why the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit. You see, God has already prepared the way, and God already knows. Amen. I don't know about you, but this little prayer, I want to work on it again. I worked on it on the way to church today with Missy. I want to memorize it again. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Let me tell you something. Evil doesn't only grieve God. Did you hear what I said? Evil does not only grieve God, but it grieves us, amen, as well. I don't know about you, but I see things, beloved, that just, it grieves me. It grieves me because I know it's not right. And God granted him that which he requested. When is the last time you asked God for something? You put your finger on it and say, God heard my prayer. God answered my prayer. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. I believe in my heart, even in the service this morning, that there's a spirit of revival. But I'm telling you, the devil's going to want to pour cold water on it. But I'm telling you, if we could get a bunch of people praying, if we could get a bunch of people saying, God, don't quit. God, let it begin in me. God, help us to see a move of God. God, save my... Let me go back. Oh, God, save my babies. Oh, God, save my neighbor. Oh, God, save that coworker. Oh, God, help us. We need that in this hour that we live. I believe, listen, that it pleases God to know that we depend on Him, that we can't do it alone. Amen. I believe it pleases Him. Amen. Actually, we're helpless without Him. The Word of Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I never forget years ago, a preacher held up that like that. He said, without Jesus, he said, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. Amen. Nothing. But listen, there's another side of that coin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Without Him, I can do nothing. But with Him, there's nothing that I can't do. How's your prayer life today? What did you come expecting today God to do? Somebody years ago, I don't remember the story exactly, but somebody got down to the end of a difficult situation, and somebody said, we need to pray. Somebody else said, you mean it's come to that? That's where we should have been to start with. Amen. We need to pray. Father, thank you this morning for our people. Thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for the prayer of Jabez. I thank you for the hand of God upon his life. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that that one, that two, that three, that may be in the valley of decision this day, God, that this would be the day they'd say, I've had enough of myself. I've had enough of sin. I need a Savior. And Lord, that they would run and flee to Thee. I pray today, Lord, that we would see a move of God. Lord, not just in our church, but in our country. Lord, we need Your help. Help us, Lord, to realize that we are one nation under God. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. Lord, and You said You'd forgive our sin. You'd heal our land. I pray today, our Father, that we would glean and be, Lord, dependent, just like Jabez was, that we would have the desires, God, that line up with Your heart. God, that we would pray, 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 pray. Help us to pray. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.